Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good night, good evening, whatever. It's December 13th, and this is A Good Story is a Good Story, and this is our special holiday romance show. We are having a lot of writers. All of them have been on before, and we know all of them, but they're all going to have their own time to talk and tell us about their books, and this is the last show of romance for the year. Not that there won't be romance, but not on this show. So romance is in the air, and there's be special guests and interesting stories that you will like to hear. And I think that will be it for right now, and I'll just say one little message here, which is Fran Lewis and I will be on a show with Sandra, who's here. Sandra, hi, Sandra. And she's here,
Marcia,
as my co-host, and we're doing a show on Thursday with Gerard DeMarini, and that will be it's at noon Central, 1 Eastern, and, 11 Mountain, 10 Pacific, okay? And I also, that'll be a great show. He's been on with us, and he's a really good writer, and we're talking about his second book, and it's going to be a good show. And we're going to find out all about what makes him tick, not only the books he writes, but he was a rock star, and he's had illness and overcome it, so he's going to be a very interesting guest, as always. And then I should say hello, Denise. Denise decided
Hi.
She would like to come on the show today and talk to us. Hi, Denise.
Hi there.
We're glad to hear you, and now Sandra is co-hosting, so Sandra, meet Denise. You two of our separate guests.
Hi.
Okay. Denise, thanks for coming on. And this may be a little complicated, the show, which they usually are, my shows, but I'm trying to not complicate it. After my show Friday, we had like 10 people on at one time. So I think what we're going to do now is not do that. And I'm going to introduce my first guest. And he's a riot. He's been on the show a lot. And he not only has one book, he has over 200. So, and there's a book on Amazon about him. His name is William Maltese. William, hi, William.
Hello,
are you?
Marcia. Thank you for having me on again.
Wouldn't have this show without you, because you have you have stories on everything. Whatever you have more, you've got a lot.
That's right. Whatever
some
you've got, I can
don't
check
have
in with something.
Okay, tell us a little about yourself and all the things that you do, because there's a lot of them. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I've just been writing since about 1969, and I've written just about every genre there is, including cookbooks and romances. I did three super romances for Harlequin and a couple other romance books. And lately, I've just been doing cookbooks and wine books. I have a wine series and a cookbook series, and male-male romance, male-female romance, male-female male romance. Just any kind of romance that you want. So,
right. So we say romance is romance. That's it.
That's what we say. Whatever
that is.
Whatever it is, they're
wherever
all
the
out
chips
there.
Fall,
you know?
Wherever they fall, that's it.
Yeah, with over 200, I don't think I've missed any genre. I mean, I've done westerns and plays and movies.
You also have done children's. You have a children's book.
Yes, I do have a children's
book. I
know. Dog on a Surfboard by. And the Rest of the Adventure by Billy Lambert. Yeah.
Yes.
And a young adult book, part of a Flickr series about teen angst and vampires and werewolves, that sort of thing, which is out there too. So.
Absolutely. We could just have the show with you on, and I could leave. You could just talk about all your books. It's romance.
There we go.
You know, but you do. I mean, all these years you've been writing. So what do you see as the difference? I mean, because there's such a difference now than there was like even 5 years ago. You know, how do you feel about everything that's going on now with the e-books and all this craziness that's going on, that we're all emailing each other and Facebooking and Twitter, and what's your opinion?
You know, I really don't know. I think I do know. I have an opinion on just about anything.
Yes.
That's
why you're on.
I just, in one way, I would prefer being a writer now because it's easier to get published because of the e-book. Business, and there are so many publishers now. But then on second thought, I'm glad that I got started when I did get started, because there are so many publishers now,
right.
And there are
right.
so many writers now, and there are so many people out there for people to choose from. They haven't a clue who's good or who's bad.
Right.
At least
I
have people who have been reading for a while who know what they're getting when they get a book by me.
Right.
So,
yeah. See, that's the thing. You know, I really never talked about this subject, actually. Like, what do you think, though? I mean, what should they be aware of? And, you know, because there are people always out there that they're really not, you know, they're not credible. And, you know, and people are very desperate to get published because they've already gotten rejections, and I've had a lot of them myself. And, you know, we all have had rejections. And the thing is, how do they know? I mean, because right now you pick someone and you don't really know if they're going to stay in business for a month, a year, 10 years. You know, you just don't know.
You don't. There's not much help. Good. I sound like I've been drinking. There's not much help that I can give you in that regard either.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's just the way it is. They are out. They're here today. They're gone tomorrow. And a lot of people want their books published, and they go with a publisher that's belly up tomorrow, or you can have one that goes on for a long, long time. So it's just
there's no way to know, and that's the thing. You know, and so I think that probably if they're going with a traditional publisher and they're not going to be taking money from them, that's okay. I mean, if they go belly up, at least it didn't cost them. But hopefully they'll check them out if they're going into a self-publishing so they don't have to pay, you know, money and then lose it all. You know, but it's very hard to tell. I don't know either. Because there's so many people out there. You know, every day somebody says, you know, this one. There's just tremendous amount of people out there doing this now. So you don't really know what to tell people.
I haven't a clue. Yeah.
So what's your favorite? What do you like? Now you like the cookbooks and you're liking that a lot. But you've traveled, so that's helped you with all of your cookbooks as far as food goes, and you're a connoisseur in a lot of things. You forgot to say chocolate.
Oh, the chocolate, yes. The chocolate. I'm also into chocolate. Sure, so I healthy chocolate, right.
Well,
yeah.
Since this is romance, let's talk about the chocolate, too, because chocolate candy is romance.
Yeah, chocolate. I'll tell you, look, you might want to go back to, I'll tell you, traveling is what got me started in everything. The reason that a publisher came to me to do the wine book and the cookbook is because I had traveled. The reason that I got such an early start and was published so early was because I had traveled, and I ended up setting a Harlequin super romance like in South America and had never been done before. Right. And so I'd been there. So traveling has been a real boon to me. I've done an awful lot of it, and I have absolutely no regrets, and I give it full credit pretty much for my being where I am today.
Yeah. See, I know. See, and now, you know, well, right, because you can, you know, I remember when I first started, like, writing romance, I said, oh, get a book, you know, and you could learn about travel, and, you know, you can go to the library, you can, you know, at that time it wasn't even the internet, you could try, you know, doing things like this, and it's very hard. You did it firsthand, which makes it very believable when you start writing that way. So that's how you think that's why you think you continued on. But you do travel, so whenever you go somewhere, you can talk about it in any of your books.
Well, you know, if you're there, you can pick up a book on site that tells about it. You can pick up a cookbook that's there. You can see what's there, and but you really don't get when you go to the library and pick up a book.
Right.
So it makes it easier for me to write than if
Do you have a favorite place? Do you have a favorite place that you've been?
Oh, yeah. I like Rome as far as Europe goes, and I have a thing for waterfalls, so I'm really hot on Iguazu Falls in South America.
Really, yeah.
That's one of my favorite locations.
Actually, those are the good places. I mean, you know, it's good that you got to go there, but you also did other things before that, you know, before you wrote. So, I mean, you also had a lot of credits behind. You know, they didn't just say, like, okay, fine. I mean, you've written a lot of things now, so now they look back, and you're on Amazon with your own book, though, of how many books you have.
Oh,
which is almost an incredible, you know, you don't talk about it that much, but the truth is, it's an incredible thing.
You're not going to say that,
but I am. Well, I mean, how many people have books about the books that they write and how to find them? Because you're in every genre, you're in a lot of genres. And that's, some people, like, that's the problem. So do you think that, myself, I'm trying to, like, focus, but you did a lot of genres. So do you think people can do this? Is this not a bad? I mean, I think it's an okay thing to write about different things. How do you feel? I mean, you've written in all these genres. So, I mean, has that been a deterrent for you? Probably not, because you have all these books out.
Well, the only complication in writing in a lot of things is people who write one genre, their readers pick it up and know exactly what they're getting.
Right.
With me, they're not. And that's why for a time I had like 36 pseudonyms. And finally, I just decided, you know, I mean, that's way too many. So I just lumped them all together, and I figure surely my readers have enough intelligence to go to, like, Amazon and wade through those. I think there's 80-some books there and find out what one is right for them.
Right.
Because, you know, if I'm writing male, male, sex, you know, a straight person isn't going to want to read that kind of stuff. And a straight, you know, and a gay person doesn't want to write, you know, straight romance. So,
right.
Or if you want romance, you don't want a cookbook. So, you know, you just have to.
But that's been successful for you. So, you know, because sometimes in my head I'm going like, well, maybe I write, you know, I do screenplays and I do books and I do children's books. But, I mean, you know, I like that. And, you know, and people say focus. But, you know, I don't sometimes want to because sometimes I would rather do other, you know, I don't want to just do one thing, you know. And so I think for you it's been successful. So I guess the advice for me, from you, would be to just keep writing. I mean, you know,
Do what interests you, because if you get in a rut, you're not interested. I mean, people can tell when they read your stuff that you weren't interested when you read it. So I, you know, when they read it. So I say, go ahead and, you know, do what you want to do, and then hopefully your readers will have the intelligence enough to figure out that, you know, that if they don't want to read a screenplay, they won't read one of your screenplays. They'll read one of your, you know, children's books. I mean,
That's a good idea. You know, what you're saying is right. I mean, so, I mean, I'm listening to you because it's true. I mean, there are people that do write in other genres, so I guess it, that people have to do what they think is best for them in the long run.
And not only that, but it opens up your market more. If you can write more than one thing, you have more options.
That's true.
You know, like when something dries up, if romance is no longer gets popular, I can go to cookbooks, or I can, you know, pick something that's popular and write in that.
Cookbooks are really important. They're popular now. I mean, my God, cookbooks are, you know, and cookbooks and wine. I mean, the things that you've chosen are good choices, though.
By the way, before I get kicked off for taking
the whole time, but I know you might not want
I
to.
I do want to mention something really exciting that I'm presently involved in, and that's that somebody's putting out a hot spice with my name on it. William Maltese Hottie Spice Mix.
Now you've arrived.
They're going to start.
You have definitely.
Yeah, not because I'm such a hottie. It was because I've written so many hot books, I guess, in my time. They thought that would be a good thing to do.
That is a good thing.
Yeah, so.
So that's exciting.
I've been eating. Yeah. Well, I am. Well, not only that, but I've been putting the spice on everything, and
is it
hot.
Right? Is it good? Yes.
I'm enjoying it. Yes.
See, not many people
that
get that to happen to them. So that's, you have really something different. That is different, because I doubt that no matter how many people write or not, that done for them. That I can tell you.
Well, you know,
the truth is you have to branch out. That really is true. You know, and I do think sometimes, you know, I do get bored, you know, and which is probably why I have, like, shows with 20 guests on at one time. I do like that, though. And even in my screenplays, I do add a lot of people. I mean, I just enjoy that, you know, a lot of different people and a lot of different things. So I think that one of the things that writers, when they're listening, they should probably realize that romance, you can turn your romance into many different things, which we have on this show tonight. We have a lot of different romance. We have historical, we have erotic, we have everything, you know, just plain mainstream, I mean, and vampire, witches, you know, we have everything. So this is where the market is now. It's everywhere.
You want to keep doing things that are advantageous for you. And I think the more genres that you can write in, the more subjects that you can write on, the better off that you're going to be. Because then you have alternatives, and you're not, you know, you get a rejection and you feel, you know, horrible, or the marketplace starts to slow down in one area. And a lot of people, you know, who just write that get depressed and think they'll never publish again. And if you have someplace else to go, something else to write about, it's beneficial to you and to your career to have that. It's just, if you can, you know, it's hard enough for people to establish their name in one genre, So if you go wandering off, you always have the danger of, you know, getting even more lost in the shuffle than you already are. So, I mean, there's pluses and minuses, and you just have to pick your own way.
What you're saying is fine, but you've been doing this all the way through, so you've managed to sustain your career, which is really hard as a writer. You know, I mean, to continually write from 1969 on. I mean, that is not most people's careers, because they just either they start later or earlier, and they don't do all this. So, but you have just gone through the waves and the sea, because that's really true, though. We're able to try different things because we're not born knowing exactly what we want to do or what we want to write. But I guess if you're looking at what you've done, you have maintained a career for all these years.
Yeah, I tell everybody who wants to be a writer these days to don't give up your day job. Because,
right.
I mean, actually, I would have said that all the way around because, you know, from the get-go, I think that's true. And, I mean, I didn't start out purposely to be, you know, a full-time writer. Actually, I had a degree in marketing advertising and was getting ready to go do job interviews in New York, London, and Los Angeles when the book thing hit, and I just stopped there and writing.
Knew about marketing. I mean, you know, we're kidding around, but the truth is you had to know something about marketing and advertising because look where you are all these years later, and you have a successful career, and you're traditionally published all the way around here. You have different genres, and you've kept your career. So you have kept your mind open. So I think that one of the things people can take away from this is that sometimes if you want to try another writing, you should. Because you might be good at it. You know,
yeah,
I think it's just taking a chance.
Yeah.
Like we
if you want to try it,
if
you want to try it, that means you're interested in it. And if you're interested in it, you're more apt to come up with something good than if you're bored or you're not interested in it. So
I think if you write
something good, you find a publisher.
You don't get bored. You don't get bored. You've got a lot going on. I mean, really. And so I think that's a good way to think about their career because I do think someone will say, oh, romances aren't hot today. This isn't hot. Mysteries are better. But I think when you try to make yourself enjoy what you do, you'll fit somewhere in time in what you do. So you shouldn't just, like you're saying, give up. You just keep going. And I think what a lot of people do, they give up, and maybe the genre that they're writing it might not be the best for them, and they don't know that yet.
Yeah, and you also have to, you know, you have to keep your eyes and your ears open, because I remember a few years back when everybody was trying to decide whether e-books were any good at all because there were so many so much crap coming out in them, that I actually wrote an article and asked people, you know, whether they were reading e-books. And from the reply I got from that, I told all of my publishers to put all of my books that they could into e-books. And so when the present, you know, surge is happening at the present moment, I'm very well set there because most all of my books that are on Amazon have long since been converted into e-books. So I was there when that happened. So you have to make sure that you're aware of trends and don't get, you know, don't get lost or overrun by them or left behind.
Yeah, the one thing I wanted to, Sandra, are you here? Sandra, because Sandra, do you have any questions for, you know, because you're just starting out, okay? And William, I mean, I know, I could feel that you
do have a question for him. It's not really a writing question, you know, as far as something I need to know, but it is something that I would really like to know.
Okay.
Do you have anything, William, coming out like for Christmas or... And what are you working on now?
Oh, well, hey, I can answer that one. Yeah, look, I just had a Christmas story come out, an e-book, as part of MLR Press's, it's mail on mail,
okay.
MLR Press's marathon release. They're doing like, I don't know, they started out at the end of November and they're releasing a story a day for...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, through the 31st of December, and sometimes two books are coming out a day. So I did that one, and I have...
Now, that's a good thing. What is the name of their press? It's something different. I've not heard that. It's
MLR.
MLR.
It's man, yeah, I think it stands for Man Love Romance. First of all, I know that's what I always go by, the initial. And you can find it on www.mlrbooks.com.
Okay, yeah. So they're taking Christmas stories and different stories. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, they're taking them from a whole bunch of others. Really quite popular in that genre. Like Laura Baumbach has got one out, and Ellie Blue has got one out, and there's new writers and, you know, old ones too. So I'm not really.
So it's
much
not done as an anthology. Yeah. It's just a separate. Each one has separate stories.
Yeah, each one has separate stories, and eventually it might be put into anthologies.
Yeah.
But actually, the e-books are running, you know, and they run from like as cheap as 99 cents to, I don't know, $4.99. I mean, e-books are really easy to do now, and you can put them on. And then, of course, for the holiday, another one for the holiday is always. I always come back to my even gourmands have to diet because, after all, everybody gets fat over the holidays, and they have to diet. So they should go. They should definitely pick that one up because that book even lets them eat chocolate.
Okay. Well, good. That's a good.
Yeah. So.
So you know, I mean, seriously, that's an interesting because people are, you know, I'm going to bring other people on, but the thing about that is the Christmas story. So I mean, so people have a shot at getting stories just put on, you know, does that go through Smashwords probably, or it goes Smashwords on the ebook, or just separate as a book? Do you know how they do that, or I don't know either.
Yeah, I don't know because all my publishers take care of, you know.
He takes care of all that.
You might know. Marcia,
I think it's probably Smashwords.com, and Smashwords.com puts out stories, and they go to Kobo. It goes a lot of, and Wendy's coming on, and she'll talk about that. And because there's so much going on with Smashwords now, and it does go into the Kindle, the computer, and everything. So I think people, if they've written short stories and they think they have nowhere to go with them, they do now, though. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Besides, remember, though, that everything is... you know, seasonal. You should submit your Christmas stories in June or July.
Okay.
Because the
this is good. I mean, because really, because this comes up because, as you know, Reed put on an anthology, and she worked really hard. At the Dancing with Bear Publishing, and she just started doing her publishing company, and in 3 months she got that whole anthology along with other people. We're going to have Bobby Schaefer come on, but the truth is it's hard to get it out, and she got it out. And when I was talking to when we did the show Friday, I was trying to explain to people, even though it's not for this Christmas, the Christmas story works every year. I mean, if you watch the movies, it's the same message and feeling. So people shouldn't feel like, oh, they just did a Christmas story and it's never going to go anywhere. Every Christmas, it comes out.
Oh, well,
look at
those movies.
Yes.
Christmas movies like a show. And every Christmas, you can always remind people that you have a book out there
that's
a Christmas story.
Yeah, I think it works for people, so I think that's also good advice. You know, I'm trying to tell people because, you know, I can see that they're getting very antsy in everything that they do by all this Facebook, and, you know, they're just all worrying a lot that they don't have to worry about things, and you have all this experience. That's why when you're saying this now, it's right. Next year is next year, but it's the Christmas story will come out again.
Yeah, Halloween, you know, can you do it for Halloween? You can submit for Halloween. If you have a Halloween story, you can pull it out every year because there's always a new generation coming of age, you know, to read. So you get rid of the people who have already read it and you have somebody else who's more interested. It's surprising how many people, you know, you put out a book 1 year and, the next year it can come out again. Nobody has heard of it, you know.
You have new readers
who come in.
Excellent. All right, so you just solved the problem. There you go. There you see. Okay. You can stay on if you want or go, but I'm good. You know, whatever you feel like doing. I mean, I know you didn't have dinner yet because it's 6 o'clock by you, where you are, I think, right?
That's right. I might have to go eat. Sorry.
Okay.
During dinner, I can sit at the TV set and the computer and listen to your show.
Okay, that's good. You could always listen to me.
Yep.
Right, you do.
That's what I'll do.
Okay.
Marcia, thank you so much.
You know, I have a happy holiday, and, you know, I appreciate you coming on, but I think this was really, that's why I wanted to have you on first, because you have really good advice, and you've done this for so many years, and you're still popular, so this is a good thing. So I really appreciate it. Have a good holiday, and healthy and happy one, and we'll see you after the first of the year.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And for everybody else who's on this evening. Talk to you later, Marcia.
Bye. Thank you. Okay. I know that I wanted to do one thing, and then I'm going to get a lot of people from World Castle on. So I think that maybe Bobby's here, Bobby Schaefer, right? I think we could put her on. You know what, Denise?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that Bobby is 903.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Hi, Bobby.
Hello, Marcia. How y'all doing up there?
I'm good. And you?
We're doing just fine.
Well, I asked some of your questions because, I mean, that was what we were going to talk about, something about the anthology.
Absolutely.
I mean, and he answered that because the truth is every year. So nobody has to worry that this year that it's going to be just one-time Charlie. It's not.
Well, that is the biggest problem, especially with new authors when they're writing anything Christmas. They think if they don't get it up, out, around, and in the stores by, you know, the 15th of the year, they're down the tubes. But it's not true because people are looking. I start doing my Christmas shopping in July and August, and I start looking for things that are Christmassy. Right. And believe you me, just like he said, every story that they may have seen the title of on 1 year, they're going to be, if they didn't get it, it's going to be a whole new ball game. And so your public relations is up to you. You're the one that has got to start pushing it. I mean, I was talking to, I think it was, maybe I was talking to you the other day about James Patterson. You would think that he would just sit back on with his feet up on his desk and let everybody that he pays probably a fortune to, but he is on that TV. I see him every single day pushing his books. He's got a young people book out, and he's got a mystery novel out. He is on Facebook every day.
Right.
Pushing his books, pushing
his books.
That's
right. Okay, so that, I mean, that's, you know, because we talk about this all the time, but the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter who you are and where you were published, what publisher, you have to go out there. And that's why, you know, Wendy's here from, you know, and we're going to talk about marketing too, because, you know, that's why, like, everybody has a book here, but we're all in the same boat in marketing. So I want you to talk about your new book, and I know you have something to say about that, and Denise is on the phone too, and also Sandra. So if anybody wants to ask a question, you know, because I know you're going to stay for just a short while, so tell us
about
your new book, and it's an e-book too, so go ahead.
Well, Love's Golden Dream started out as a historical adventure, because I'm still, regardless of my age, I'm still a kid at heart.
Good.
And before I fell in love, I wanted to go on an adventure. But of course, when I got ready to think about where I was going to get it published, there wasn't a whole lot of adventure publishers out there.
Right, yeah.
So I had to go back in, and of course, at my age now, I thought, well, shoot, if I went on an adventure at my age, I would want to hit a little romance. And
at any age.
At any age. And so, so of course, it turned into a love story, but it was a love story that continued an adventure from the very beginning when she was, before she met her hero, till the very end when they stood hand in hand, as all good love stories should end. And when it came out, of course, I was so grateful. I mean, I'm 74. I'll be 74 the 21st of December.
Wow.
And I have written ever since I was a child, but only seriously since I retired 10 years ago. And I started writing young adult because, like I said, I'm still a child at heart. And
that's a good thing.
Then I went into adult, contemporary, then historical, because I love historical. I love to go into a different age with different clothes and different scenes and different way of life. And I love a good love story, as long as it's not too mushy.
Right.
Because I like that adventure, and I like the fact that it's not going to be, oh, there you are, I've waited for you all my life, and they lived happily ever after. That's just not my thing, and I don't think that's real life. And sometimes they don't get into their little ups and downs until after they get married.
Say the name again of your...
It's Love's Golden Dream. It's put out. My publisher is Dancing with Bear Publishing, and Marie McGahey is the publisher, CEO, and owner. And I want you to know that she made my life, she gave me at my age a whole brand new life. From the time that book has come out, I have set up book signings and book readings. I have hit Facebook, and everybody out there, listen to me carefully. There is no limit to the relations that you can push, your public relations. If you're in a small rural town like I am, when I had my book signing, I hit feed stores, liquor stores, beauty shops, convenience stores. I put out
liquor stores? What did you say to them? What did you say?
I put out covers of my... I said, may I post my book on your door with... Why, certainly. The picture of my book was in every... You could not walk up one
it
side
is,
of
it's
the...
It's a beautiful cover, too. It is.
It is a beautiful cover. Justin James did the cover for Dancing with Bear, and he does a splendiferous job. He is excellent. And R. Jeffries, he and Marie did the editing on it, and I think Marie did most of it because I think he was wrapped up in another book at the time.
Right.
But I cannot be happier with the result. And when your book comes out for any new author, don't think about where can I buy it, where can I tell my people to buy it. You get out there and start pushing it. You've got to get the name out. You've got to get the fact you've got a book out. If you go with a public relations person and they put it onto ebook, post it on Facebook, post it
on
Twitter.
So when you went into these stores, did you go in with the book cover? You made a copy
of the
book?
See, I didn't even, the book wasn't even out when I started.
Okay, so what? That's usually what they say is a good thing to do. So where did you go? I mean, you just put
it in.
But you went to the stores with, so you just wrote a
flyer?
With
the cover of my book.
People...
Yeah, see, they send you, in fact, it wasn't even the final cover, it was the draft. You could still see the print of the
But you started with that.
Yeah, and I went to every place. I said, may I put my book up with the name of it? And all I can say is it's coming out October 15th.
Right,
and
so then you got it out, right.
Then when it came out, I tore that off and left the put the new cover on that was finished and put, you can buy this at. And you'd be surprised, especially, I don't care if you're living in a big city, you got a community that's going to support you. If you live in a small city, they're all going to be behind you. I see, I can tell you the name of nearly every person that works in every little town, I mean, every little store in my town. And, I mean, there's a lot of places that they have a policy. You know, well, we're not allowed to put anything up on my window. Fine, put it on the post right outside there, on the telephone
post. But you weren't
right
afraid
outside
to go out and do it. So this is a good thing for people to know. You know, Sandra, do you have anything you wanted to ask? Because, you know, also there's an e-book on this, too, that Wendy did, so she can talk about that. But do you have anything to ask Sandra or?
No.
Okay, all right, you're all right with this. Okay, all right, you know, so you have an e-book.
Yes, I've got the e-book is out, and you can get that for Kindle and Nook and Kobo. Check on Spanish Word. All you have to do is Google Love's Golden Dream. I mean, Wendy puts it up there. It is so easy for this world to look at my book.
Right.
You hit Love's Golden Dream up there, type it up there. It'll tell you where you can get it, where you can order it, where you can get the book, where you can get the e-book. And
so that's a good thing. I mean, so now it's out there and you're happy and you're 74 and you did this and you're out there continually PRing yourself.
Oh, yeah.
So and
well,
you are
not only that, as soon as I got the cover for the second book, which will be out in the spring, they all know about that one, too.
That's good.
I took the
cover
and put it around.
So you're not afraid to tell everybody. Okay, so then.
Oh,
right,
my
so then,
goodness. If I don't blow my own horn, I don't know who will.
All right. Hey, you got it. All right. So do you have any last messages to tell anybody before? Because I know you're just staying out a short while. Is there anything you wanted to tell anybody about, you know, any advice you want to give them right now?
You're
about romance?
To me?
Yes.
Well, the thing about it, romance is gentle. It's a gentle thing that hits the heart. It can be a gentle but fiery explosion that can change the life of your characters in your book. And that is what people want. They want a gentle touch. They want a hard impact in their life. They want a little bit of, is it going to happen? Is he going to get her? Is he going to lose her? And I don't care how often the end happily ever after, there's always that doubt, you know.
And you got to get the middle. Right, that's called the middle. I mean, you got to have that in
that's
it.
That's right.
You
don't want to make it too easy for either one of
no.
them.
No, because
it's not
that easy in
it's
real
not
life.
Worth the journey.
Right, it's not
but,
that easy in real life. So, all right, so you're very
character.
Happy right now that you were published, and you see that people that at your age can get published, can be happy, your dream is coming true, and you've got Reed and you now have Wendy that's doing PR, you know, helping you with the PR. So, I mean, this is what people need to do, and you're not afraid to go out and do what you need to do to sell it.
Well, if you're afraid, I mean, then you're not going to get anywhere. That's as
right.
simple as that. And you're not going to get people to help you if you don't ask them.
Okay.
I mean, all you have to do is get online and ask somebody.
Right.
I remember the first time I joined a writer's group, first question I asked, I started off with, this is a stupid question. When I had my book signing, the woman that had started this club gave me a big bouquet of flowers, and it said, for the woman who was not afraid to ask a stupid question, this is the result.
See, that's right.
And that that was just so touching.
That's very good. I mean, that's very good advice. You know,
I
think that's it.
And there are it's like she told me, there are no stupid questions, people. It's just questions you don't know the answer to.
I agree, because sometimes people ask a question, and I said, look, we are not born knowing any of this. It took me all these years. I've been doing this for years and years, and that's why all these shows, every show I get a new, you know, idea that might come to me, and that's why when they listen to these shows, not only mine, I listened to another show yesterday of somebody else's, and it was good. So we're having a lot of these writers on now to discuss things that, you know, about their book, but this is a holiday time, and it's romance, so I appreciate you giving this advice, because I think when they're hearing it from you now, they know it can happen to them.
Well, this is true, too, and especially in romance. I mean, if you want to concentrate on a holiday, Christmas, you can always throw Christmas in. For me, in Love's Golden Dream, Christmas was a very important holiday, and it was almost a whole chapter on their Christmas together.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, and you can push that as a Christmas story. You can push it as a love story. You can push it as a historical adventure. I mean, there's no genre that you should box yourself into and say, this is all I can write, because you've got children in a story. Your next book might be an adventure that they had, and they would recognize their characters.
So there are always more coming from there.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, so it can happen. I mean, that's what I try to show people, is it can happen, and don't give up. So I appreciate you coming on. I know you're really busy. You've got, like, tons of stuff to do, because you're becoming a very important part of Dancing with Bear Publishing. And
thank
I appreciate
you.
It
I'm enjoying
so
it.
Much. And, you
oh,
know,
you're welcome. I've enjoyed it.
And good luck with your book. And I know I will talk to you, but happy holidays, but I will be talking to you.
Oh, yes. Okay. Merry Christmas,
yes,
everyone.
Okay. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Okay, thanks. Okay, now
you
we
bet.
Have,
you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to have, I'm going to bring out a few people at one time, but I'm also going to have Wendy talk first, because she's going to leave, and then I'm going to, everybody else will stay on for a while. Okay. All right, we're all from the same group here. We have Kathy. Is Marilyn here? I think Marilyn is here.
Let's see.
I don't
here.
Know if he's
here.
Okay, all right. Kathy, are you here? Hi, Kathy. Is Kathy here? I think she is.
Yes, I'm
Kathy.
Here.
Hi, Kathy. You've got your own little story. Is Wendy here? Wendy might be here, too. Wendy, are you here? No. Okay.
No,
so who's on from, well, Charlotte's here. Charlotte,
yep.
Me. Okay, Kathy, is there anybody else here that I'm not saying from, and Wendy? It's not here. Okay. No, but right, these are from, okay. So, Kathy, Kathy's been very successful, and Charlotte, they're very successful. And so Charlotte, me, and Kathy, right, from, is anybody else here from Red River? I mean, from, let's see, I'm on Red
World
River.
World Castle.
World Castle, yes, you know who I am, whatever. Whoever I, World Castle, Dancing with Bear, Michigan Avenue Media, I don't know. Let's see, I can imagine how many, I forgot to ask, there's probably a lot of different publishers with Williams. So it would be a good thing we didn't ask him that. He'd be mad if I had asked him that. Okay. All right. So, all right. Charlotte, you want to talk about your romance books. You know, I mean, you got a series out, and you're doing really well with it, and you are also someone that does PR all the time.
I try to.
Mostly every minute. Okay. What's the name of your series? Because they need to know who you are.
Well, it's the Embrace series, and it's a young adult paranormal romance. I have three books out so far, Immortal Embrace, Forbidden Embrace, and Mystic Embrace. I'm working on the fourth one right now, Everlasting Embrace, and hopefully that'll be out in the early new year. It's, like I said, it's for young adults. It's vampires and witches and magic and love all wrapped up into one neat little, maybe not so neat little bow.
Right? No, but it's right. It's romance. I mean, there's so many different genres now of romance. You know, I mean, this is life now. This is what it is. And, you know, the market is open.
It is. And, I mean, I chose to write paranormal because that's what I like. That's what I like to read. I like that fantasy aspect of it.
Weren't you surprised? I remember when we talked about this before, you were surprised that you thought you were writing for one audience, but then you got the young adult mothers, you know, the daughters, you've got the mothers now.
Oh, yeah. Most of my fans are mothers.
See? All right. So, but you started out not thinking you were going to get them, so you have a whole new group of followers that are not who you expected. See, that's the thing. You never know.
Yeah.
And
they're
loyal.
I think that the moms enjoy the young, at least for me, I enjoy the young adult romances because it takes me back. I mean, when you're reading a book, you go into this world, the book world, that the story is in, and it takes you to that place. So when you're reading a young adult one, it takes you back to those younger years and the memories of what love felt like back then and how you had no cares in the world except your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whatever it was, and you were just happy to sit on a park bench and make out.
Right, and right, have a good time. Right, you didn't have any other. Well, that's the best time. You know. Now, as you get old, when people are older, they have other problems. So this is a good time to like enjoy life.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's what you're portraying in different ways now. I mean, that's the thing. You know, that's why romance has changed. So there are so many different ways that people can express a romance. And so what I'm doing on this show basically is, the reason I did want to do this show is because people say, oh, romance, and they think it's like sometimes trashy, they don't want to read it, and they put it into a genre that is not really existing, because it's not just all romance, there's a lot of different things. So they're taking themselves out of reading books that they could really enjoy.
Yeah, well, I mean, with my romance, it's not trashy, because I am writing primarily for a younger crowd.
Right.
I mean, I don't have a lot of, you know, trash in there or sex or anything like that. I mean, there is sex, but it's
but
not
there isn't, but there
like
isn't
erotic.
Mainstream books, too. Thriller, drama, mysteries, they have sex in it.
Yeah, and like I keep out, you know, there's not a lot of swear words. And I mean, there's the odd one because, I mean, we have to face it, teens curse, right?
They
so
do swear, right,
There's a little bit of that, but I try to make it very realistic to what teens are going through. So I write in first person, and you get to see and hear and feel all the internalized thoughts that the character has.
I like first person in a lot of ways because I do feel like you identify right in. You get really hooked in if you start reading. I like that a lot, you know, because then you know there are a lot of people that don't. But I do, because I feel like you're getting right into the character. You understand them a lot, and in your books they're very understandable. So I think that, and you've got three so far, right?
Three so far, and I'm working on. I'm about a little more than halfway done the fourth.
So, okay, let's bring out Cassie, because I know she's your friend here, too. So, Cassie.
Cassie's my girl.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Cassie. You haven't been out for a while. What? I have not talked to you. How are you? How many books have you written? 30 in 1 month, probably. Okay, tell us now what you're doing. Tell us what you're doing. Tell us what you're doing.
I'm getting ready to go to Texas with a bunch of friends and find some books. I'm getting excited.
But isn't it April, though? Is it April?
March.
Okay. Well,
March.
Before you know it, it'll be March. I can't believe December, we're in the middle of it almost. It's weird.
I know. It's exciting.
So you are going to go to Texas? You are going. That's good. Charlotte, are you going?
I'm going.
You're going. Okay.
Yep. And we get to meet.
Well, maybe I should go, too, because I should, even though my book is not that genre, it's romance, you know, it's a drama type, you know, it's a drama, romance, there's a lot going on in my book. It fits in a lot of genres, you know, and I know you're all going to Texas. It would be nice to meet. That would be really fun, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I should think about that.
I'm excited.
So how
I'm
many
thinking,
people are going?
I think there's a dozen of us, aren't there?
Yeah, about that.
And see, that's a Barnes & Noble that is going to be accepting people, which is really nice. Because
it's
not always easy. And, so, Kathy, tell us a little bit about your books, then we'll talk more about, you know, because Barnes & Noble is accepting in that area, which is nice.
I write contemporary romance, erotic romance. I also have I have two different genres I write in. I have paranormal, and then I have, I guess, human contemporary stories. I have 5 books out in a 6-book series for the Grant Brothers, and I have 3 books out in the vampire series, the Aaron Kiss stories. So I have, almost 9 out this year.
That's great. That's really good.
Since April.
All right. So do you want to say a couple names of the book and your website so we can, you know, at least so people can know where to find you?
Sure. The books that are out now that just came out is Byron and Jamie. Jamie should be out in a few weeks. Byron came out before that. That's books 4 and 5 of the Grant Brothers series. The name of my website, I'm looking it up right now, is Kathy S. Barton, author, @blogspot.com. It's KathiSBarton, author, @blogspot.com. I also have a Google Plus page. And then we're also, all of us are on World Castle Publishing as well. and we're on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and Smashwords, and a few other places as well.
And okay, and I'm, well, because I am also, right, I'm with World Castle also under a contemporary, I should say that, and it's Feel the Passion, and Kathy, well, you're on the, I don't know if anybody else is out there from, but all three of us are from World Castle. And, you know, I mean, I think the books are doing well, you know, because, and I think that the people are trying to, everybody's trying to help each other in the group, and so that's a good thing. There's, you know, there is a lot of emails, though, with, you know, back and forth, which is driving me crazy because I'm in so many of these little groups. And the truth is, I'm trying to tell people, email me regularly so I could at least answer some, you know, see what's going on. Because it's hard when you look at your email and you have, like, 150, and you go, like, oh, my God. I can do this, you know.
And,
yeah, it's a lot going on. But I think that, you know, but I think that most people, which I can see that you got, I know both of you are writing. So, I mean, that's a good thing. And that's what, after the 20th, after our show, Brandon Lewis and I are going to do a show on Tuesday the 20th with Sarah Paretsky, who is great. She was V.I. Warshawski, and she did the series on, you know, and there's another movie, I think, coming out, and she's got a lot of books, and she's from Chicago, actually. She's a really good crime mystery writer. So, I mean, after that, I am taking off, you know, for a couple of weeks, and I'm going to write, too, because I think I have to. You know, I want to, you know, try to, you know, but I've been trying to do all these shows and bring everybody in that, you know, to promote their books and also show people that there are different forms of romance, and it's not all sex. And people should not just say, oh, romance, I don't want to read it, because it's not. It's proven time and time again, you know, whether it's, you know, a little darker, but it's still their stories. So I think people are getting used to the fact of hearing that, from me at least, because I think that it's important. So I think that you guys seem to be very happy, I would say, doing this. I know that, right? I mean,
I'm having a blast.
Right. So and that's really the important thing, is having fun. I think what happens is everybody's not. And Sandra, who's on here, Sandra just getting her book published. So do you just want to say the name of your book also, and, you know, so people know what you've done? This is Sandra Elrod, okay?
My book is Mr. Thursday Night. It's going to be with Rebel Inc., and it's coming out March the 3rd.
And you're excited, and you're happy.
Yes,
and
yes. Still,
and you're writing. You're writing a lot of different genres. Yeah, you're very happy. I think it's great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one we have to get published is Denise. Denise, I didn't forget about you, Denise. You're there, I know.
Okay.
Okay, not that I push anybody, but I'm glad I pushed one. See, Sandra did it. Now you're next. That's a good thing.
I know. Got to get to write.
Well, it's true. I mean, you know, listen, life happens, but we all have to keep writing more. That's really the most important thing, is to all keep writing. And I think that we're doing that. So we're accomplishing a lot. And, you know, with the newer publishers, the traditional, such as Karen Fuller, who's doing, you know, World Castle, and Ree, who's doing Dancing with Bear, this is excellent for people. And Wendy, I don't think Wendy is here right now. I don't know if she is, but she's doing a lot of PR, and she's going to be Mystic Press, and she's going to take a lot of children's books, you know, which is a good thing. And so she may come in later, I don't know, but she's doing a lot of PR, and she's doing some very good PR that is for, it's actually, and Joanne Buckley, they're doing some things that are going to be affordable for people. So that's what I try to bring for everybody, because I think, as we heard from Bobby, you got to go out and do it, and if you don't go out and do it, you got to have somebody to do it for you. So does anybody want to say anything else about that before we bring anybody else on here? Do you guys want to stay on? Like, you want to stay on? Is that okay? Kathy, or?
I'm okay.
Yeah, I can stay on.
Charlotte?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right, you want to say anything else, either of you, right now, before we move on, or? Are you okay?
I'm good.
No, I'm
okay.
Fine.
Okay, I just see all the lines lit up. I'm going like, okay, who am I not talking to? Okay, I think that we have some other people coming on, and let's see. Denise, do you know who they are out there? 417. Well, Sandra's on. Is Sandra on now?
And it's waiting.
Yes.
Hold on. I can see the other two.
Okay.
All right.
Bennett's on. I think Bennett's on.
Yes.
Bennett.
And
hi,
I
Bennett.
Also have a romance coming out.
Okay.
My
good.
Romance is coming out next week.
Okay. Talk about yourself for a minute so everybody knows who you are. Okay.
I'm Bennett Pomerantz from Night Owl, from To Be or What, from Audio World, from A Piece of the Page, and I'm doing the other side of the table because I have a romance coming out next week.
That's
in the Christian Authors on Tour book on Christmas.
That's
and my
great.
Story is called Christmas in Hell.
Is that what it's called? Okay.
Yes, that right. is the real title. It's called Christmas in Hell, and it's a romance.
Okay, all right. We got this.
Hey, everybody's got to have their own niche, and
that's
it's
right.
it's a religious piece, but it's a romance, and it's a very very deep romance. I don't want to give a lot away, but it's
okay.
a very very deep romance, and a lot of people have read it and gone, "It's you wrote this? Yeah, I can write things."
But, well, yeah, you know, because and that's the thing. People are very shocked sometimes, but people do write. That's why when William was on, we're talking about this. That's why I'm doing this show, because there are so many different kinds of romance that people should open their mind to reading different kinds of it instead of just saying, "Oh, I'm not going to read romance." Because there's lots of different, and they're different stories. They're not just romance stories. You know, they think of, you know, they all have different little messages and stories, and I think that this may be opening up for people where people realize that romance, you know, and when we have the shows, a lot of times we get information from people on marketing, and that works for every genre.
Well, you know, I tell you, I like all genres, everything from Star Wars, and I love E.T., and I love science fiction is a great one, and there's so much romance in that, too. I mean, think of the movie Enemy Mind. That's a romance, as well as it's a conflict. It's a beautiful piece of work. There are a lot of romances in all genres, not just the idea of romance. You can have romance in any kind of genre, and that's what's amazing these days.
Well, yeah,
and when I was asked to do... I'm sorry?
No, that's right. That's exactly right. There's a lot of everything out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But to me, I'm amazed that, you know, we have such diversity. And these two young ladies, I love Charlotte's work, by the way. I shouldn't tell her. It'll go right to her head.
Of course it will.
I think she likes to hear that. This I know. She wants to hear that. Every writer wants to hear that.
Well, from a critic, she should hear it, which I am. And when I say I love her work, I don't say it lightly. I think it. You know, she did some paranormal YA that amazes me, and it is kind of romantic. It's lovely.
Yes.
I was talking about it to some people at Night Owl, and I may be talking to her after the show about a surprise if she's really, really good.
She is really, really good. Okay, I think that, and I also think we have one of your friends here, which is Leanne is here. I think Leanne Murphy.
Oh, yes. And Leanne writes an adult book. I will tell this about Leanne. Leanne writes a very, 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 very interesting book called Kinfolks that she sent me a PDF of, and I just finished it. She can kill me because I just finished it 3 days ago.
Okay, well, there we are. Hi. Leanne, hi, it's Marcia. How are you?
Hello, just fine.
Welcome into the show. I didn't want to, you know, I knew this was going to be a longer show than we, you know, usually just have just an hour. So I know, and Bennett, well, which you know, and you're meeting Charlotte now, and Cassie. And I think there's one more, is there one more person here? I don't know if Elizabeth is here yet or not.
Yes, I'm here. Elizabeth
oh,
is here.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
How are you? Hi.
The one
right,
that
so,
the one that my computer gets psychiatric care from. She owes me a big bill. Her
so
book,
now,
Don't Call
right,
Me
so,
Baby,
I
made
your,
my computer steam up.
Okay,
I owe your computer a fan.
Yeah. All right, so I promise I want let Leanne and Elizabeth talk about, you know, what they have going on for the romance right now, and then we will absolutely all talk together. Okay, Elizabeth, tell us about what you're doing right now.
Okay, well, I've started my first series. I've never done one of those before. And I kind of got the idea when I've seen all the other books out there that, you know, it's book one, book two, book three, and then I realized that my most popular book is my bisexual werewolf male-male erotic romance, Feral Heat. So I decided I like those two characters. It's, Sam Hightower and... Grant Newsome, and I like those two characters so much that I decided to put them into another story. And that one was just released about a week ago, and it's called Filthy Lucre, and it's spelled L-E-U-K-E-R. It's the guy's name. And these guys are unusual. They're not your usual kind of werewolves because they aren't in a pack. They're loners. and they're stagehands, and they travel from city to city, mainly because by the time people figure out that there's a werewolf in town, they've moved on because they're with a roadshow. So, you know, these guys never get caught. You know, they almost never get caught. And they meet different people each time they're at a different location. And for a change, Sam is tired of wandering around, and he wants to, you know, wants to settle down and, you know, put roots down. So that's what the two of them are doing at this moment. But
you reach every gamut. I mean, you've done a lot of books also. You've done, you know, in a lot of different, you know.
Oh, I've done horror, science fiction, comedy.
Yeah.
I've even done bizarro.
Well, you know, and we're also going to have a special show, which, can I say it, or is it all right with you?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
Valentine's Day, we're going to have a sale. We're going to have a special sale. I have to get a sale. Okay, coupons. I'm thinking of all these stores with coupons. We're having, a special show on Valentine's Day, and it's going to be horror and, you know, whatever Elizabeth wants to do with it. And I actually have written a horror script, so, I mean, I can... enter that market, I guess, because I have written it, all right? And so Jeff Feltfleischer and I, he is my editor, and we've written it, you know, and we do horror, so I guess it's a good thing to do. I don't talk about, like, a lot of things that I've done, but I think as soon as you said that, I go, that sounds like a good idea, because I've not done that before.
It'll be fun.
It's going to be a good show.
Yeah.
And plus, most of the people I know are from around the world, so we're going to end up having guests that are going to set their alarm clocks in the middle of the night so that they can call in during their time zone to call into your show.
So that's going to be really interesting. So we'll do that on Valentine's Day. It's not your typical Valentine's show. But this is great. It'll be different. Yes, I think I like that. It's something interesting. And, okay.
Oh, you know, we're going to do a vampire steak in my heart, right?
Well, yeah, I think Bennett already, he's writing it on his calendar. I could see that.
she knows. No, I'm writing on calendar for a couple of other reasons.
I don't even know. So because people call me up and say, did you know Bennett is the co-host? I go, well, no, I didn't know that. He didn't tell me that. And then Sandra was. I said, well, Bennett is coming on. Because I know that these are, you know, you've known Leanne and you know Wendy. Well, you don't know Wendy, but you know.
I know who Wendy is, and I've read some for work, yes.
Right. Well, Bethany Hale was supposed to come on, too, and Elizabeth, you know, she's here now, but Bethany Hale, she may come on next time. But you've been on shows with her because most everybody's been on the show. All right, so let me let Leanne say, Leanne, what's new with you?
Well, I have a new Christmas release that just came out the first weekend in December. It's a contemporary romance called Sing We Now of Christmas, which I stole the name from my favorite Christmas song, which is like a 15th century French carol. But it's just a love story from one Christmas when the couple meets. Then as they have got married, their happily ever after goes sour when he goes fishing on the lake and never comes back. Everyone thinks he's missing, presumed dead, but his wife is the only one who holds out hope.
Wow.
I don't want to give away the whole story.
Okay, that's a nice, right. That sounds good. That sounds like,
I'm
movie.
I must say to Leanne, as I said, if you didn't hear, I just read Kinfolk, folks, and I love it.
It's
a novella Leanne sent me. I just finally finished it. Please don't kill me. It's been a long week. I've been out of town for the last three weekends, and it's like finally, I just got home tonight about 2 hours before the show, so I'm like, I'm like suffering terminal jet lag, so after the show I'm going to crash and burn.
Are you going to write about that too? Yes, probably.
Yeah, I am. I already got it in notes from, I took the bus from New Jersey home, and I have like 4 pages of notes for To Be or What column coming up. So, as any writer, you take any experience and you turn it into something. And that's, you know, whatever you have, you use. I mean, when I wrote Christmas in Hell, the new story I just did, I took a lot of real life and a lot of things that are happening. I ripped it from the news almost, but some of the things that just, you know, you put it down. People, you know, Occupied Wall Street was very, very prevalent when I wrote Christmas in Hell. And so it's a romance, but yet on the other hand, it's you could feel it based in real life. And Leanne, Kinfolk was so wonderful. I really enjoyed it. It really, really was good. I just want to say
that
to you.
Leanne, is that a contemporary or what?
It's a contemporary romance.
Okay, you know, maybe we should talk about this. Because a lot of people don't really know which type of romance they fit. Now, contemporary, tell us what you think contemporary romance is for you.
Well, set like in present time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's that's the only, you know, and because that's, you know, that's a, people do classify, that is a genre now that they use a lot, you know, contemporary, because you don't know sometimes where you fit a lot of times. And, you know, in romance, there are a few areas people can fit into, you know. And
a lot.
Right, yeah.
There are a lot of it, Marcia. That's
yeah.
what I was saying. You can have a science fiction romance. You can have
right.
A horror romance. You
murder.
Can have, you know, Twilight
yeah,
is a horror romance.
Romance. Right, because you know, there always is some sort of romance in any of the shows you see or any of the movies or any TV. I mean, there is some side of romance, you know, a sort of romance. So that's why when people, I hear it all the time, when they go like, oh, it's a romance. I mean, and that's not a good thing. I mean, they have to realize that there's very good writing in romance. It's not just,
I understand. But I have to say this to my friends Ellen and Rena so they get this. My vampires don't sparkle or dazzle. They'll understand that. And if you're a fan of vampire fiction, and I think these two ladies are, they know exactly what set of books I'm talking
uh-huh.
about.
Well,
Elizabeth here. As far as contemporary goes, I always wonder exactly where the cutoff point is between contemporary and historical. I kind of cut off at about 1920. That's when you get into World War One. To me, that's historic. And I mean, well, one story. I'm putting up an outline together. I'd like to write either a novella or a novel. I wanted to set it. It'll be male, possibly male, female, set during the Christmas armistice during World War One. And
that would be more historical.
On that one. That would be historical.
Some
people don't. Yeah. Some people don't know exactly when. You know, where the cutoff is. I mean, like one story that I've written for Christmas is Tinsel Temptations, and that's contemporary, set in the 1960s. And, when Bennett was talking about basing things on his own personal experiences, I base this on, my memories of, you know, Christmas in hell at dinner, you know, the family Christmas dinners going to, you know, relatives and friends and that sort of thing, and all the antics that happened, you know.
My hell's a little different. I got to send you a copy. But the thing is, you can say it takes place, say your romance takes place both in present day and in the 60s. It's still considered contemporary or 60s.
Yeah.
Say somebody in the current day, or let's say the 80s or the 90s, that'd still be contemporary, but they're reading a diary of somebody from the 1860s and they're relaying things that are happening to them. It would still be, in a way, contemporary with historical.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fine line. So if you're having your characters, somebody reading a diary of your characters, but they're taking place in modern day, and the story takes place in World War One armistice, then you've got both a current contemporary romance as well as a historical romance combined into one.
Kathy, you write in you write contemporary.
Well, I think I call contemporary different than what you guys do.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So what do you call it? That's right, because that's the whole thing. That's exactly what I'm wanting to ask, because it's not right. So what do you call contemporary for your writing?
I think it's because the sex in it is a little more explicit than it would be in a regular. I mean, it's present day, but I think it has to, in my genre, I think it's more to do with the amount of explicit sex that's in it than rather than just the time frame.
But not all your books have explicit sex, though.
Yeah, they do.
Every one of them. Okay, all of them.
Yeah, right. The ones that are out, yes.
Right, okay. And then the ones, do you have others that aren't?
Yeah, I have nine stories that are that have absolutely no sex, and they're young adult. They just aren't published yet.
Right, but you have them. I thought I knew you had something like that. Okay, they're not published
yet. So when
yet.
Are you doing them, Kathy?
I'm sorry?
When are you doing? When is it going to press, these young adult stories you're doing?
I'm not sure. I have, I'm with World Castle Publishing, and right now I have, there are 11 vampire books that are written, and only 4 of those are out. And I have, of the Grant Brothers series, there are 6 of those, and only 4 of them are out right now. And there are, like, offshoots from it. I've got approximately 45 books that are finished.
Really? Wow.
That are not published.
So, all right, so, well, listen, I mean, nobody can
take
all 45.
I do want to interview her.
Yeah, I know. She's very interesting. I know. She's very.
I don't write one book at a time either. I write.
That's why,
I
right. Go ahead.
Get,
right. This is the most amazing when she does. Go ahead. Say it. Go ahead.
I write 5 to 7 books at the same time, and not all of them are the same genre or even the same storyline.
So how do you keep them straight? Do you have a dictaphone or a tape recorder?
No, I just I read the last chapter of the story that I sit down in front of, and once it like plugs in, I don't do an outline. I just write dry. I have no idea what's going on into the story. Once I hit like the metaphorically the end, I have no idea what the story is about anymore.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Works
so you
I'm
let
like,
your
yeah.
character? Do you let your characters govern you, or do you try to govern your characters and just have a good time playing with them?
Whenever I try to govern my characters, I get writer's block. So I just let them go.
Okay. Yeah.
But you don't give
yeah.
the, you don't have an outline for a roadmap. So what
no,
do you do? You just whatever hits the page, and then you straighten up in editing or just. You barely touch it in editing.
Most of my editing is just verbiage or, like, punctuation. But, no, I seldom ever change the storyline, ever. I might add, like, because sometimes my head gets ahead of my fingers and I might leave out a word or two. But, no, I don't do a great deal of, like, overhauls. I don't do overhauls. I'm sure they probably could use it, but I don't do overhauls.
But your readers like your writing.
I hope. I
well,
they
well,
to,
they're
yeah.
buying them. I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. they're buying them, which means that's a good thing. You haven't been writing that many years, but you have following, and that's a good thing. So you keep, but they, you're putting them out, like everybody says, but you really put them out fast.
Right.
Not always that easy.
I've been with World Castle since June, and we have 9 books on the market. I have 9 books on the market.
A lot. I mean, it's a lot. You know, Elizabeth, what do you say? I mean, how fast do you? I mean, do you write in a fast pace, or do you, you know, take your time, or do you go back to them?
I'm pretty quick. Right for this month, I'm taking it easy. I'm taking a break.
Yeah,
for,
right.
You know, for a change, I never do that. But I like to look at the Erotic Writers Association webpage for the calls for submissions. And, I'm aiming
wait,
for,
you know,
like,
could
the
you, wait,
yeah,
this
the
I don't know,
but
could
write,
you repeat
yeah,
that?
I write pretty fast. I aim for
could
about 1,000 words a day.
Could you do me a favor?
She looks at the Erotic Writers Association page.
Now, wait, Sandra, are you on? Is Sandra on? I wonder
yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Yeah,
yes,
you, have you heard of this? See, I've not heard of this. So where do
no,
they find it? It's called the, and so you can go in there and they say what they're looking for?
Yeah, it's the
wow.
Erotic
right.
Authors Association website, and they have a whole web one page that's all calls for submissions, and they have, they'll list lesbian, gay, I guess some are just by publisher on one side, who's looking for novels. I mean, all kinds of new stuff that's up, and a lot of it is they have some for Excite, Cleus Press, Mammoth Book of Best Erotica. And I'm trying to get into some of those. So
what's their website again? What's their website?
It's Erotic Writers. I think it's Erotic Writers Association.
Association.com.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because nobody, we've not heard that in all, a lot of, we've never heard
you
that.
You never
well,
asked me. That's
URL
why.
Do
you know it?
Yep, I sure
I
do.
I don't know the URL offhand.
Yeah, but Sandra, did you know that? I've not heard that.
No, I didn't know.
No,
I hadn't heard it before.
Yeah. right, so that's because that's what, you know, that's something different, you know, and that's, you know, because I think people sometimes they don't know where they fit, so maybe if they look into that, they could figure out what they want to write, maybe. That's a good thing.
Well, I know Julie Becker has a lovely contest coming up. She's doing an erotic collection. Now, Julie Becker is a very good erotic writer as well as these beautiful ladies, and since she has four books out already, Julia Becker wants to see other people that giving other new persons a chance. So any new writers. She's getting a collection together for mid-August, release next year, of new writers that have either never been published or have never written erotica before.
Okay.
And so it's sorry, Sandra, you don't fall in that category anymore.
but it's nice to know that people are, you know, branching out and trying to help people that have not, you know, written before, because it's very hard to get into every market, and that's why we're doing the show tonight, because it's all about romance, that people don't know these things. Now, Charlotte, have you ever thought of doing another type of are you wanting to branch out, or are you satisfied where you are right now? Is Charlotte still on? I don't know. Maybe she's not on.
Well, the funny thing about the reason why I mentioned her collection, I was joking with her a couple of weeks ago. I said, well, I could submit. And she says, no, Bennett, you can't. And she mentioned the short story I did 10 years ago. So I'm like, I can't submit it, which really annoys me.
Well, you know, Charlotte is on. Charlotte, excuse me, Bennett, for a second. Denise, I think Charlotte's on 587.
Yep, I'm trying to get him on. I just lost all together a second ago.
Yeah, she's all right. I'm sorry, Bennett. I'm sorry.
It's all right. As I said, the inside joke about that was, I said to her, I said, I would love to write an erotic story. She says, you wrote one 10 years ago. You can't be. You're not a new author.
And what's her name, Charlotte Beck? What'd you say her name, Charlotte? What was her name, Beck? What's her name? What's her name? What was her name again?
Julia Becker.
Okay. Charlotte's on again. Charlotte, I asked you the question. I don't know if you heard the question I asked you. I wanted to know what you felt about if you were going to go into another genre. Or are you satisfied where you are right now?
I do have contemporary romance in the works right now.
Okay.
It's kind of taking a back burner to my paranormal series, but it's there and it wants to get out.
Are you like it? So you're enjoying it then?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I wanted to try something a little bit different than what I'm doing, just to broaden my horizons and everything. So I've done a short horror and now this contemporary, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, that's good. I think it's good to experiment on the things. That's what I was talking about before, because sometimes you just don't know where you fit or if you could do this. And, you know, that's why there's so many different types of writing that people can do, and they can branch out. And sometimes they turn out to be better in one than they thought they would be. You know, and they get money for that, you know.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, you just got to test the waters and see how things go, because you just never know.
Yep.
Well, I always told writers to diversify, because if you just do one genre, you get pigeonholed.
Yeah. It could be, I don't know.
Yeah,
sometimes So well,
my philosophy was I always wanted to see if I could be like Isaac Asimov and write at least one story in every section of the Dewey Decimal System. he had something everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean, that man has written in every single genre that has ever existed.
Like, you know, that's why William Maltese was out at the beginning, and, you know, the truth is he's done a lot of different kinds, and that's a good thing. You know, he's done well, but he has over 200 books, and he's tried a lot of things. And, you know, sometimes people shouldn't be afraid to try things because, you know, like I said, they may be good in it, you know. I mean, it might be something that they, you know, do very well in, and they're not realizing it.
The late Sherry Lewis taught me a very simple lesson. She told me this. She says, writing a book is not like cooking, where if you're cooking, you have to eat your work. So any time you experiment with a book, you can always put it down and redo or other things, whereas if you're cooking something, you can't redo it unless you want to buy new ingredients. So, you know, she always told me to diversify, and I always find that amazing advice.
Yeah, like Sandra, you know, you're starting out now, so how do you feel about that? You will be, I know the answer, but people don't. You're going to write in other genres, right?
Yes. I already have paranormal going, and I have some contemporaries and some historicals that I'm working on. I've got like 14 different ones I'm working on now.
Yeah, 14. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
And when do you have time for a personal life?
Well, she does ask that question.
But does any writer have a personal life?
Writers always have personal lives. It's just they're not very active. They're usually at the pen.
they're writing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like so, Leanne, do you write all the time?
Oh yeah, I do.
I know Elizabeth, yeah.
Yeah, and the diversify thing is like I have romance either out or coming out in so many different areas of romance. But I think that's a good thing.
So I think that's a very good thing now. I think it is a lot different than it was before because, you know, even if you can't, like let's say not you, but some people, that they might not be able to get published, there are a lot of places they can go to now if they check them out, and hopefully they're good places, but there's a lot of people accepting different stories. And certainly with the e-books and the smaller stories, like we've heard tonight, there's markets for people that are open, that they never really thought were open.
I'm surprised sometimes that some of the markets are so obscure, but they still have magazines. I've started writing splatterpunk and cyberpunk. And, like, you know, splatterpunk is extreme erotic horror. And I had a story accepted recently of that stuff. And also, cyberpunk is erotic, you know, it's erotic science fiction on the extreme end. It's the kind of stuff that makes people, you know, it curls their toes, that kind of thing.
I miss black mask and accuracy myself.
See, it is amazing sometimes when you start to sit down and write and realize that you can do different things, you know. You just have to absolutely sit down and just do it and let it go. And so I think, you know, I think Kathy, I kind of like how you're writing because I kind of sometimes think that if you don't start the story, you're never going to get it finished. Because I hear people say, you know, I have 20 stories started. But when you start and just keep going, the story does develop. I mean, it does for me, too, because until I actually say I'm really doing this, it doesn't really start until you sit down and write it.
Well, Marcia,
there's one bit of advice that I heard that actually was very good, and it helped me with writing just anything, especially short stories, is you start as close to the end of your story as you possibly can. And because that's where most of the action is. And then you work your way backwards until you stumble upon the beginning. But you're supposed to start as close to the end as possible.
I've not heard that, but that's
not a
bad
thing. And it works.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing because, you know, my particular thing is I don't, like I what Kathy's doing, I don't always know my ending because I find it much more exciting when I don't really know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And even if one of my problems has always been that when I'm rewriting something, then for me not to get bored, I sometimes change a few things, and then you have to change the whole thing because, as you know, sometimes you change one thing, the whole thing changes. But, so rewrites for me can sometimes change a lot, but then it can be better then, too, because sometimes you get that moment where you go, okay, aha, I got it, you know, and then that's, you know, you have it. And I have that a lot, you know, because, like, I was doing a story, and it was off of an outline from somebody else that I, you know, and they wanted me to write their, you know, script. This is for a screenplay, and I could not get what I needed in the middle because I just felt like this is the first time I've written where I know what, you know, because it was for hire, they wanted it a certain way. So I got there, but I wasn't happy until way at the end. Then something changed, and I went, oh, my God, thank goodness. I found it, but I didn't know I was going to get there because I really felt I couldn't get there. And I just kept saying, I did it as an experiment because I experiment on everything here to try the writing. But it is difficult when you're writing someone else's ending that they want you to get to try to get there. And I found that to be hard, but I just made myself do it, and it worked out. The person I wrote it for liked it, but I still feel it had issues, and I still think it does, because it wasn't exactly what I would have done, but I had guidelines. And I don't think I was, you know, but that was a good experience, because when you're writing for someone that wants something, you have to do it the way they want it a lot of times to express yourself. Because I think you said you do screenplays too, Elizabeth. You're interested in that, or you do screenplays?
Yeah, I'm interested in doing screenplays. I haven't written one yet. But then, I mean, I used to work in, I've worked in the movies and on stage, and so I know about the time constraints and how to break things up and that sort of
right.
thing. I just, I haven't written a screenplay or a teleplay or anything, you know, a play.
You probably, yet. You probably should start, do try one. You know, like Sid Field, I learned from Sid Field's books. I think he really has good books because he makes it very simple. And, you know, you write detailed, so for you writing a script would probably be not as hard as for other people because you're writing, you have to do less detail. So you already have the details, so you already see it in your head.
Another book you might want to get is Playwriters for Dummies. And as dumb as it sounds, Playwriters for Dummies touches on scripts, touches on plays, and touches on format and everything else, and how to develop your characters and everything else, more than any other book I've read in a long time.
Okay, and it's called?
Playwriting for Dummies.
So it has scripts in it.
It's one of the dummy books, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, well,
but,
you never know. You just
what I find interesting about it, though, is it talks about the three scene concept, which basically in television or movies they do a five scene concept, which basically you're beginning, you're act one, act two, act three, and epilogue. So you're doing the same thing, but in theater or in plays, it's brother and sister kind of things.
Yeah. So, well, you know, but, you know, sometimes when you're writing a screenplay, though, you know, as you know, I mean, the more you do it, I mean, that's not the same actually with a book sometimes either. But in the script, it's bare minimum, you know. And in Hollywood, they don't want too much description, so you have to just, you know, write it. The page isn't going to be filled, and sometimes that's how they look at when they skim it and they touch it and they look at it. It cannot be, if it's got too much description, they won't read it, you know, because they want to go through it fast.
Well, the New York Times did a fascinating article, which I read on IMDb, Internet Movie Database, if anybody doesn't know what that is. They had the new movie War Horse is based on a stage play, which is based on a novel. So it started as a novel. It then went to doing a stage play. And, of course, it won Tony's doing the stage play. And Steven Spielberg took that stage play, which he saw in London, and transferred it to film, which is a different medium, and gave it a little more depth in the medium. Because, of course, the horse was not real on stage, whereas the horse was very real in film. They had to use six horses for the war horse in the movie War Horse.
I mean, you know, I mean, certainly Charlotte, I don't know if Charlotte or Kathy has ever thought of it, but probably they might sometime feel like it. Have you girls thought of it? Have you doing screenplays?
Me? Oh,
yeah.
No.
I don't think I could.
Anybody can. Don't ever say that. Anybody can.
Yeah. Oh, you could because
you know
why?
I didn't think I'd be able to write a novel.
No, but you know what, Charlotte? You know why you could? Because you write first person. And it's easy when you write first person. Because when you write first person that way, I mean, that's how your characters have to come across when you're writing a script, actually. You know, so you're writing it here and now, usually. So
yeah,
you know,
that part I think would be easy. I mean, honestly, no one... Anyone who ever knew me would have never guessed that I would have become an author. So
see, that's the point. I would
have
say that about
from
myself.
That,
I would
say never
say
never.
Too. How many on the who would I will say that would probably be true of me. I don't know Bennett, maybe not you, but I don't do any. Everybody else want to take it, see what they think about that. I don't think
I'm
people
sorry.
Would have thought they would not have thought I probably would have written and done screenplays.
I've written six scripts. They're still in developmental hell, but I've written six scripts. Six movie scripts, and they're still. I hate the idea of Hollywood. They buy, they look, they buy. They we'll leave it in the slush pile. We don't. They'll pay you, and then they'll lose your option.
Well, sometimes when they do give, you know, actually when they give you some money for an option, I think you have a little bit more of a shot. I think a lot of times now, you know, they want an option for no money, and as an agent, I never liked that. I thought it was bad because you take someone's work for a year and with no money, and I don't really think that's good. I think if they give you some money, they might do something about it, you know.
Well, then they lose your option, which bothers me because I've had them pay me for something, and then suddenly they lose the option, and your script is back in the slush pile.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Do you ladies remember the movie I, Robot?
No.
Yes.
Will Smith.
Oh, I think so.
The Will Smith movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that awful thing. Yeah.
That awful thing, but that awful thing had scripts written by Asimov himself, Harlan Ellison, and a couple of other known science fiction authors doing the scripts. All those scripts were in the slush pile, waiting. Okay, Will Smith was looking for a new project. He said, "I wanted to do iRobot," and brought his own people in to redo all the scripts over and over. And then, of course, it became a Will Smith project, and he championed the thing, and of course, it was made. Whereas otherwise, it would be still in the slush pile, waiting to be made.
Right, but most people don't understand. All they need is someone to say yes. And if you have your own money, you can go out and get it made. And you just have to have you have to get distribution naturally and everything else, but you have a shot if somebody wants to put up money. And
I think something like that happened with one of the Dortmunder novels by Donald Westlake.
Martin Lawrence is a big
Martin Lawrence is a big fan of the Dortmunder novels, and he managed to buy the rights to one of them, and the movie was actually not that bad.
Yeah, you know, And that's what happens, though. I mean, you know, but I, you know, and I think sometimes they are looking for books, but, you know, it goes back and forth. You know, if they have the scriptwriter to write it, and then if it's going to be the way they want it. And it's a very difficult field, but it is, writing scripts is, I think it's very entertaining. I love it, you know.
Well, you know who Mark Harmon is from NCIS.
Yes. Uh-huh.
He wanted to do the John Sanford book. And it also has been in developmental hell for years. And it took him 2 years to get the film he did for USA, which they liked, and they're going to ask for a second John Sanford book. And Mark Harmon, of course, executive produced it and, of course, starred in it. That was the deal maker, is, of course, Harmon had to star in it as well as executive produce. But he brought the thing to light. If not, the book would still be on the shelf, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think, you know, and I think that, you know, this conversation naturally got better. You know, it's got an interesting view right now because I wasn't really going to have this kind of show, but we're all still on here and, you know, we're all different writers here. And so that's why it was very interesting to talk to everybody about this, because you never know what's in someone's head, if they want to do a movie, if they don't want to do a movie. And I think as writers, we can change. So, you know, I think that's what happens in life. But doing screenplays, to me, I think it's not that you do get a shot at it. I think because a lot of producers do look at things. And it doesn't mean that in 10 years that they won't, you know, do the movie, because that's a very good possibility. You know, sometimes with books, if they don't do it, you know, they just throw it away. You know, they throw away. I don't think they save. I don't think they do like scripts. I have a feeling that they don't save them like they do with scripts. I think scripts sometimes, if it's a good one, they do put it away, and hopefully they might use it someday, or you never know. I mean,
I have a good friend who has a horror movie coming out that's being done by three different producers. But one of the producers is his father. His name is Max Brooks. Yes, if you know who Max Brooks is, his father is Mel. Yes, that Mel.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Brad Pitt's Plan B Productions is co-producing. Of course, Brad Pitt's in this World War Z movie. And, of course, Brad Gray is also producing it. So, I mean, you've got three producers, you know, doing it. And because, of course, one person's – and, of course, the author is doing the script with another author, with another writer. So, and it's based on his novel. So you're getting a lot more than just you're getting a hands-on producer, and you know the old joke about nepotism in Hollywood or in anything else. And that's what it's about. You're getting a lot of nepotism in this thing.
Well, you know, but, you know, that's unfortunate. I wish I knew the right, you know, people. But, you know, I do know people that are getting movies made, which is a good thing. But, you know, naturally Christmas movies, those are always in, you know, effect. I mean, people really want those a lot. That's always going to be popular. That's why people, when they're worried about the anthologies and Christmas, it's possible that some of those stories can turn into movies. You know, does happen.
Well, what bothers me more and is everything nowadays most of everything in Hollywood is a number, a redo, or a remake. I mean, I hate to say it, Twilight, The Muppets, they're very few original. I mean, they're going to do Die Hard 5, G.I. Joe 2. I mean,
well, they're all hoping that it will turn into something, and who knows? Maybe it will. You know, I don't know anymore. You know, none of us do, because of the movies. You know, some of them are making money, some aren't.
Well, okay, you try to do a new movie like Cowboys and Aliens, which is based on a graphic novel, and it fails. And so they suddenly say, no thanks. I mean, everybody lately is going to do fairy tales now because Once Upon a Time and Grimm. Are successful. No, they're not great successful, but they're successful. And the sitcom with two broke girls and back and Two and a Half Men coming back has become, and Mike and Molly have become successful, so they're all going back to doing sitcoms again.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, they scrapped two Westerns because Cowboys and Aliens failed, and they even scrapped two science fiction shows. But the point is, you know, Hollywood is so fickle. When you even, books or scripts, you know, you can have the greatest book in the world, and the problem is, They can destroy it or they can love it, and they can make something of it or they can totally screw it over.
Well, you know, I'm hoping for the best for everybody. So I think that, you know, after tonight's show, we can see that at least romance is still here. Romance is here in a lot of ways, you know. So I think, does anybody, you know, Sandra, do you have anything? Or Denise, do you have any other questions that anybody want to ask? Nope. Charlotte? Cassie?
No, I'm caught.
All right, because it's late for a lot of people, but I just, you know, I want to thank you all for coming on, and, you know, I think that this was interesting because I think that maybe this will open the eyes, you know, for people to watch, to listen to every kind of, you know, genre of romance, you know, and just not say, oh, they're not going to read it, because I think there's a lot to be read, and Bennett, I'm sure you'll agree.
Well, being not a new romance writer, but being a current romance writer myself, it's like, wow, I wrote a Christmas story that's a romance, and I get the chance to be with all the beautiful ladies. I get the chance to be here.
Right, and so I will, you know, and you can, all my shows, I'm starting to do this, like, on my website, which is www.MichiganAvenueMedia.com, where I'm going to put out, you know, my shows for the month. You know, this month I did so many, so it's like, you know, it won't probably be this way, you know, every month, hopefully. Yeah, I need to write, you know, but I think that, you know, I'm trying, you know, so I don't want everybody to get too tired right now, because I'm sure we'll all be on working late, because that's what we all do. And Elizabeth, do you stay up too? Everybody's up, because I know when I email people, they're pretty much up. I think we're all
I'm still here.
We're pretty much up, and we'll probably just have something to eat and then get right back to doing something. It's like the routine.
I don't know about you guys. I've got columns to do, folks. I mean,
yeah,
I love when somebody's like, oh, you're up. Yeah, well, I'm working. It's like,
know,
what are you doing up?
I know. Well, we're all up.
I got to be at work at 6 a.m.
Uh-oh. All right, so this is the thing. I want to thank everybody for coming on, and this is the last holiday romance show for the year, and I think that we'll do it again, and we're also going to have the horse, and we're going to have that in Valentine's Day with Elizabeth Black. And Denise, will you be coming back with us? Hopefully Denise will.
Yes.
Sandra will be here, and then we have Charlotte and Kathy, and then we have Leanne. And I thank you all for being on, and I want to wish everybody a healthy, happy Hanukkah, New Year's, Christmas, and we all have
happy December seasonal holiday. That
That's
covers everybody.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Happy holiday for everybody. And, you know, this has been a fun show because I think we got a lot of romance in here, and that's what this month is, of lots of kinds of romance. Although the trip to, you know, Paris would be nice, too, I think. It might work.
Marcia, take it off as research, okay?
Yeah, okay, right. I, you know, I wish I liked to fly more. Then I might do. I have to just do that more. I think when you don't fly as much, that you sometimes say like, "Oh, I don't want to fly." But I have to fly eventually again.
There are no trains to Paris. You have to. You have to fly over there.
I think I'm waiting for that in Chicago. Why don't we have that? I know. I'm waiting.
I'm waiting for the teleport machines myself.
Yeah. All right. Everybody, thank you so much. And Denise, I'm so happy you came. And Sandra, thank you so much. And everybody that's been on the show, thank you. And have a happy holiday.
Yes,
thank you, Marcia.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.